Okay, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So I mentioned today, we become what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so what we meditate upon, what we think about, and so on, the people we hang out with are going to affect our lives. And we can think God's thoughts or we can think man's thoughts. Psalm 94:11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 65:2, I have stretched out my hand all day to rebellious people who walk in the way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. Jeremiah 6:19, hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. And as I mentioned this morning, Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Philippians 4:8, we're told to occupy our minds with good things. And we live in a society that's dominated by sinful thoughts and ideas. And so as believers, we must discern between what is good and edifying and what is evil and destructive. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things, hold fast what is good. That's our responsibility, to test all things. Philippians 1:9-10, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We need to approve the things that are excellent. And to do that, we need to know what excellent things are. Now, in this verse, Paul mentioned several ideas or concepts. William MacDonald on this verse says, let's look at these virtues one by one. True means not false or unreliable, but genuine and real. Noble means honorable and morally attractive. Just means righteous both toward God and man. Pure would refer to the high moral character of a person's life. Purity is a thing that's totally lacking, isn't it, in our society today? We're exposed to everything that's impure. And that's why we must guard against it. Lovely has the idea of that which is admirable and or agreeable to behold or consider. Of good report has been translated of good repute or fair sounding. Virtue, of course, speaks of moral excellence and praiseworthy, something that deserves to be commended. Now, these are the things that we are to meditate upon, to think about. But we can't meditate on these things as just concepts. Can you just meditate on truth? Think about it. Pretty hard to get it in your mind, isn't it? We need something more concrete than just the concept of truth or things that are lovely and so on. And I can think of two ways that we can get a hold of these concepts. Any ideas what that would be? Bum, bum, bum. Yes. Okay, on Jesus Christ, who displays each one of these perfectly, did he not? If you're looking at Jesus, you're seeing things that are lovely and of good report and have virtue and are pure and so on. And what's the second one? The wisdom of the Greeks. You gave a test in your class this morning, too, didn't you? What do you be the blank stare? What was that? Okay, well, that's important. But on his word is the key, right? Right. Okay, so it's that one is through the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and the other thing is through God's word. That's a lot better than Greek philosophers or whatever. The word. I can't believe we had you teach in Sunday school. I think he was joking, though. Don't you? I hope. Okay. Anyway. So by meditating on Jesus and the scriptures, we're prepared to try the spirits to see if they are of God. We need what is real and true and lovely and so on. We need to get a hold of what that is so we can see what is not, doesn't fit with Jesus Christ, doesn't fit with God's word. Now, there are discernment sites that may be helpful, like Lighthouse Trails Research and Berean Call and so on, but we need to be Bereans, first of all. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to study God's Word. We need to see what is truth, and so we'll recognize what is error. You know, we can study some of these things, and all it deals with is all the error that's in the world. Well, you'll never understand all the error, but if you understand the truth, you'll recognize the error. And so that's where we need to be, in the positive, not in just the negative. And also in Ephesians, we're told that God gifts certain people, pastor teachers, to equip the believers so that they are no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So we need both of those things. We need to be in the Word of God ourselves. We can't just depend upon being taught, but we also need the local church and the assembly to help us in that godly counsel. The multitude of counselors, there's much safety. Greg quoted that on the way to church tonight. But what about, and what does this have to do with social media? And I don't know it all. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Google Talk, I think Evan mentioned tonight, farmersonly.com. And there's probably a lot more than that. I don't know. Is that where you found your husband, Rosie? No. So, I'd like to read a couple articles here, excerpts from articles on the subject. This one is by Aaron Hurst. 2 Timothy 3 starts off, "This know that in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." A lot of social networking and blogging is focused on whom? Me, I. The way it works is that you set up your personal profile, who I am, what my personal hobbies are, what my interests are, what music I like to listen to, and what videos I'm watching, what activities I enjoy, essentially all about me, myself, and I. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, like the Bible says. In other words, they will be utterly self-centered in the last days. This is exactly opposite and diametrically opposed to the life of a Christian who is to deny himself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. This whole thing goes straight against a holy life and robs us of what belongs to God. Psalm 1:1 starts off by saying, "Blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." I am telling you that there's a lot of ungodly counsel in the social networks. Those places are full of people who do not love Jesus and people who are deceived and who are teaching another gospel and another Jesus. On these networks, you can be the cool dude and flow in with the crowd or with the in crowd and have barrels of fun, then add, oh, and by the way, I'm a Christian. Okay, and I'll read another one. Kyle Tennant, who wrote a book called Unfriend Yourself. The greatest advantage to community through social media, though in the book I intimate that this may not be possible at all, is this. Through social media, we can connect with people far away and maintain a sense of what's going on in their lives. Social media are windows into the lives of those who live far away. Through status updates, we can get a sense of big events, birthdays, special occasions, engagements, and then speak to each other with some familiarity when we move from the internet to the phone. The greatest pitfall in social media, ability to numb our senses of relational responsibility. Because social media gives us a feeling of caring for our friends without actually doing so. For example, we see on Facebook that a friend went to the hospital. We type a quick praying or get well soon underneath the status update, and we feel like we've done our job. The problem is that this feeling is not well earned, and we didn't inquire of that person's well-being. We didn't visit them or in a moment of need. We offered them a few keystrokes and forgot about it as soon as we moved to another task. The danger of community through social media is that we become relationally lazy. I'll send them a message because our mantra, when it is used to be, I need to go see her. Okay, any comments on those two articles? Both those were kind of negative, weren't they? Corey.
I agree with both of them. I like the second one a lot more. I mean, I can relate because I've been on Facebook for a few years. I know that sucks up a lot of my time, but one of the things that I would touch on is that nobody calls me to let me know if someone's sick. So if I do see Joe bumped his head or he's at the hospital, you know, that kind of stuff. So I probably wouldn't have heard that Joe bumped his head.
Well, you need to get on the prayer chain because I think we're going to put out a new list for the prayer contact list.
I get that. But
And you, yeah.
I would say to that, though, I mean, you can make it easy. It's kind of personal. If that's all you're doing and you are dumping your responsibility by just sending a little message and forgetting about it,
Yeah. Then
you're in the wrong. But if you truly are saying, hey, we're praying for you, and you go and pray about it, then that's an easy way to tell someone that you're praying for them and keeping them updated that way. Personal responsibility, I kind of think.
Okay. Or give them a phone call.
Yeah, give them a phone call. If you have their number.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times probably don't have the number listed or you and everyone's got a cell phone and not landline.
But you can ask them for their number too,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah.
And then you call.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no little they don't want to talk to you. I've had that happen.
Really? She answered, though. Okay, anybody else? Now, Corey mentioned, you mentioned this morning, too, that there are people that are on social media that aren't very social when you actually meet them, like Donna just said, that they don't know how to interact with a person face-to-face because all their interactions are on over the social media. And you lose a lot on social media because you don't see their facial expressions. You can't give them a hug or a handshake or anything. It's just, it's kind of, impersonal, to say the least. It's not the same.
I would go as far as saying that the text messaging has done that too. Christopher doesn't have a cell phone really. I mean, he's got one, but it's not active. But like people his age and younger, that's all they know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I meet people every day making deliveries, and there are people that can't look up from their phone. I made a big delivery to the reservation center in Chisholm for airline, and lady probably 10 years older than me. I had like literally 600 pounds of office paper on the cart. She said, "Oh, let me get that for you." Well, she carried her phone, playing like some kind of garden game on her phone. She didn't look up from her phone to talk to me. She knew I was there. She was coming from the parking lot. She got to the door, and she couldn't let go of her phone. I just grabbed the door and opened it myself, 600 pounds of paper. And
well, you're a strong guy. It was a game?
It was like a video game, and it was a big phone. And I was just like, who cares?
She might have been at a really high level.
So I said something to Jesse about it that day, and that night, and she said, "Oh, that's whatever game, probably, and you can't neglect your crops, otherwise you're going to..."
No. It's different with canaries. Their crops need to be watered and stuff. But do you play that game? That wouldn't interest you, would it? No. That's like fishing games, too. You can't really eat the fish once you catch them, can you, Mark?
Believe it or not, the people who make those games are pretty smart at sucking you in.
Are they? Not me. Last video game I played was Pong. And I did like Pong, but then it went to Pac-Man. I couldn't play that one, so I just quit. Too complicated. Anyway, that's another subject for another day.
But it's the same thing with the social media. They just can't suck their face off of it long enough to even sign for a package.
Right.
They really can't.
No. No, it's a mind-numbing, isn't it? Okay, anyone else?
There is a bit of a generation that will let old people grow up without the technology.
These ones, they're born with Well, Allison, she knows more about, iPad than I do. iPad. It's kind of handy for parents here. But it doesn't replace raising them. Okay, here's a more positive one. Christians who choose to participate in social networking should be aware of the negative aspects of social networking. It should be remembered that not everyone on the internet has pure motives, and we should use safety precautions, utilize the privacy settings, and be selective as to who is accepted as a friend or a fan. Parents should regularly interact with their children and be active participants in their child's use of social networking sites. In addition, Christians should be aware of the danger of narcissism, excessive self-love, and preoccupation with self inherent in self-oriented sites. Studies have shown that overuse or wrong motives in social media participation can breed narcissism. When we rely on social media sites primarily to promote ourselves or draw attention to ourselves, it's time to take a step back. It's wise to utilize accountability, encouraging spouse, family members, or Christian brothers and sisters to view our social networking activity and hold us accountable. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his friend's countenance. So I think those are some good points he makes there, that as far as who you friend and who you don't friend, the things that you post on, certainly, are they just built, are they designed to make you look good? You know, I've seen people post like newsletters, like Christmas newsletters and stuff, and it's almost gaggy because you think this family, they must be the you know, perfect family on the planet by how they post that little junior has he's studying rocket science, and one of them is you know, going to be a Olympic gymnast, and it's like their kids are just, you know, whatever. But pardon?
See those same things sent in the mail too.
That's what I said. You know, a newsletter from a family at Christmas time or something. You know, and it's just almost gaggy. It's not about the Lord and what the Lord's doing in their lives. It's all about me, you know, and my family, my kids, and. Well, maybe it's just because my kids weren't that great, but whatever. Let's go on here. Huh? None of them are here to defend themselves. It's also important to understand the impact our status, photo, comments, or blog posts may have in the future. You should remember that social networking sites involve publishing to the entire internet, including family members, current and future employers, college admissions, personnel, etc. The ramifications of any statements, both now and in the future, should be considered. It should be assumed that everything written is permanent and viewable by everyone. Furthermore, while maintaining relationships is important, a healthy addiction is not. Limiting the amount of time we devote to these social networking sites is both healthy and wise. And so that would be a wise thing to do with our children, certainly, and with ourselves. So I'm not going to spend, you know, hours and hours on end updating my Facebook page. I mean, it's really, how important is it? And everything we put on there is, as I said, it's a permanent thing. I mean, you can delete it, but it's somewhere. And resurface at the exact wrong time. You apply for a job and someone looks at your Facebook. I mean, they do that now, don't they? So I think being invisible is a good thing sometimes. I don't want everybody to know everything about me. Why should I? Now he goes on to say, on the other hand, there are definitely positive aspects of social networking. For the Christian, social media sites can be enormously productive mission field. Reconnecting with old friends and increasing our sphere of influence can lead to evangelistic opportunities unavailable elsewhere. Social media allows us to re-enter the daily lives of people we may have lost contact with and open up new avenues for sharing Christ. As such, we can influence the views of others by what we post, bringing encouragement and spiritual guidance to others, and using friends, lists, or Facebook status updates to pray regularly for friends and their needs. Let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there are positive ways that you can use social media. Anybody have any comments on that aspect? Mm-hmm. Okay, but I would say this too, that if you put a bunch of garbage on your page and then put at the end, this is my testimony, you're doing just the opposite of what you ought to do. I mean, don't even tell them you're a Christian if you got your favorite, you know, movies, favorite rock bands, favorite this, favorite that, which are all ungodly. Don't put on there, I'm a Christian. Please. Yeah, right. And everything else is garbage. And that's sad. Now, missionaries use, you know, Facebook, the DeMarts, to find out what people were doing. And they said it was quite disappointing and distressing. Jim Steele told me that when they look up former students from Cornerstone and some of the things they post, it's disturbing because they should know better, and Christians should know better. But if you want to be the cool dude, you know, and fit in with all the rest of the people on Facebook, then your status and your page is going to look like theirs. Right? But that's true of every avenue of our life. And are we becoming more like the world, or are we becoming less like the world? Do people recognize that you're different, or are you just like everybody else? And you think you have to have a Facebook page because everybody else has a Facebook page. So I don't know anything about tweeting or Twitter or Twittering or, it's basically you're just sharing your life with everybody, with the world. Yes. And that's the Christians.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's Christians.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say that right, so they bash you for that. And, you know, it's a very Christian thing to do, of course. Any of you young people have any comments? Young adults have any comments?
The fact that it's easy to make these comments online kind of removes the person from that personal, you know, that real personal aspect where someone will, especially through text, that's where they first kind of start seeing this, where it was easy to say, like, break up with a girlfriend on text because you didn't have to face them. That's bad, but, you know, just like anything, there could be a silver lining to this. I experienced it. Sometimes people will have really deep emotional secrets that, because of this detachment and it's not personalized, they almost feel more free to share. There was a friend of somebody from up here, who I met through working the farmer's market up in New York. Nice guy, so we got to be friends. He made a post. A friend of his made a comment on his post, and I saw that comment. When I read through the comments, he was, I mean, this was a direct cry for help. He said that he didn't want to be alive. And so I said, because I've been touched in my life, I lost a friend to suicide, I clicked on his profile, and I went through his history, and I found about three separate posts where he was explicitly saying, I'm terrible, and I don't want to be here. So I think the detachment of, you know, like, he wouldn't walk up to me and say that. It was clear his friends didn't really know how to deal with it, so they all kind of responded, well, shut up, is essentially that, and variations of that. So I private messaged him, and I reached out to him. He said, well, you know, I, not being professionally trained, I just told him that I'm sorry that he feels this way, but your Heavenly Father loves you. And then I made a couple of suggestions to reach out to family members if they can't help, the local pastor, if he can't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And offered my number. He said, well, you don't even know me. How'd you get this information? I gave him this similar kind of breakdown. But I, you know, there's a silver lining to some of this detachment because he felt free to say this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cry for help. And it gave him an opportunity to be in contact with at least somebody out there. And I said, I don't even know you, but I love you because Christ loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, elaborated on a little bit and shared some verses with him and then offered to help in any way that I could. I was going to actually approach you with it if he continued to contact me,
mm-hmm,
because of my limitations that I have. I don't exactly know everything to say to this guy, but I wanted to at least be the middleman. If not, if I wasn't the guy,
mm-hmm,
to help him, then, you know, maybe I could put him in contact with someone. Good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys 100%. This detachment is, that's not good. I mean, people can, you know, get away with cowardice because of it. But at the same time, you can kind of, you know.
Well, you can bully on social media very easily. And that's led to a lot of suicides itself from people that are hurt. But like you said, anything you wouldn't say to a person face-to-face, you shouldn't post, you know, especially negative comments.
But mostly I use it for pictures of big fish.
Did you catch it?
That's kind of bragging, though, saying, look.
Well, it is sort of,
but
yeah.
It's not all...
I don't have that problem.
I looked on there and I show him Mark.
He pulls them from foreign countries.
Huh?
They're so from foreign countries.
They have these northerns over in Europe that are way better
than
ours.
No, that isn't true. That's, I don't believe it. That's from Wikipedia. Yes. So if you friend them, then everybody that is friends with them knows that you're their friend. Is that it?
Not necessarily.
I don't know.
You'd have to go through Evan's friend.
I mean, are you?
You'd have to go through Evan's friend list and look at if Evan was liking all the posts of certain people, then obviously it would.
If you click on someone's profile, look at
them. They didn't have Facebook.
Hey, let the man speak.
He could. If you go through someone's profile and looking at their friends, and you see their friend with this guy, it's not like they're really doing a big deal. But like you could say, if you're liking all their stuff, then it's actually.
Yeah, you have to be careful what you like because that issue came up this past week, of course.
What's the alternative? Is that
you don't have to like them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just asking if by friending him that you are putting yourself in a bad light, other people that are looking at your site or whatever, looking at your page.
That's all I was saying is I don't think being friends with someone makes that big of a difference. But again, if you're liking their posts and stuff, then maybe you would more relate.
So it's all right to friend Barack Obama but not like him?
It's like your character. You guys have, we have the Tubi Free Ministry, and so you have people with addictions. Like, not saying that we all don't.
Right.
But you have people with a more specific set of addictions. Because you go and help them out or you reach out to people more than somebody else, does that make you a drunk? Like, that's kind of like the same correlation.
Okay.
You kind of see that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can have a relationship with people who are living sinful lives, but you don't want to condone, condone
that. So you're not condoning it, right. Yeah, Carol?
They sometimes like it's just an acknowledgement that you've read what they posted, too. It's just when you read it, and they have a record of that. And like some of my friends or some of my relatives, and they're very, very liberal and...
So you really don't have a choice between like and dislike, huh?
What?
You don't have a choice between like and dislike. Okay, that you got it and so.
The CEO of Facebook actually said that he didn't want to add a dislike option because it was too negative.
Yeah. I suppose it would. It would be negative, yeah.
Did this go away?
Ward, the expert on social media.
I was in an outhouse 2 hours ago. I'll tell you what I think about social media. I'm just hanging.
Did you post that? No. About what?
Would they say, look at him. He likes and befriends sinners and tax collectors. Is it the same kind of thing?
Yeah, the Pharisees would be.
Right. Same deal.
Is that what that means? Evan's comment about having friends on Facebook better say it.
Yeah.
Friends of the world, away from social media, just we have friends with people just because they're a blatant sinner doesn't mean we don't disown them.
Right. And we're a true friend if we do talk to them. That should be the goal.
What you can do is say, this is what I've done with lots of kids from camp. Some of them are just 13-year-old girls that post a billion things a day. So you can just hide it, and so you don't actually see what they post. But if you want to reach out to them through youth group and say, hey, youth group's this Saturday, and send them a message and stuff so you're friends with them, other people that I've been friends with, you know, will have tons of swearing in their things. So I'll either block them or unfriend them because why do I want to be friends with someone who's constantly, that's coming up in my news feed.
Because it affects right. us, and because we don't want to be exposed to that.
So you have a choice then, either just to unfriend them and not be friends with them, or you can take that opportunity and I say, send them a private message and say, you know, at camp, we remember we talked all about being holy and God.
Okay, here's some positive or some things that Pastor David Silverside's a message he gave on social networking sites, Blessing or Curse. Some of the things that he would recommends. The first one is truthfulness. That if you're going to be on Facebook or on any social network, to be truthful. That would fit with our verse here, what the things that are true. thoughtfulness. What we say, we must remember to whom we say it, who's going to, what we are saying, but who's going to be reading what we say. Restraint, confidentiality, and privacy. We need to respect that for ourselves, but also for the people that we're posting about. Would they appreciate what we post? Or restraint? Do we need to post a lot of things that we do? I'm saying we, not that I do, but for those of you that use that. Special dangers. The speed, ease, and scope of this form of communication can pose problems for some. It's easy to post something without really thinking about it. Or if you get upset about something. You know, post something when you're angry. Not a good idea. Illusion of privacy. There is no privacy there. Escapism. You can use social media as an escape from real life. It's another world that you're living in. It's not a real world, it's a cyber world. And just get lost in that. That's no different than alcohol or drugs. It really isn't. It's just a form of escape. Self-centeredness. We've already talked about that. Looking at yourself in the mirror, you know, every time you open up your Facebook. Bracket, I said some of the guys have screensavers with a selfie of themselves. That'd be the last thing I'd want to look at all day. Time wasting. That's a big one. I mean, there's so many ways to waste time now. Used to be that you had television. Now you got the internet, you got Facebook, and you got looking at your phone, texting, talking on your phone, whatever. There's a million ways to waste time, and we need to govern how we use our time. And addiction was the last thing you mentioned. So those are some warnings. So I think this, I hope this has been helpful, do you think? Just to, sometime we just need to think about these things instead of just do them. Agreed? Greg. Yeah, so you don't have that problem. No, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, you and Ward can hang out. Oh, Ward has been tweeting.
It's a little more savvy. Don't let him fool you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know how to look something up on the internet on my phone?
Oh, boy. That is scary. See what happens when you got married to a savvy woman?
Well, Renee made a mistake and she left in the barber shop with Ethan alone.
So Ethan showed you all the tricks, huh? Okay, any other comments before we close tonight? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Involved in a simple relationship, and it's everybody puts like or comment for whatever reason. But if you look at that, you know that's a simple relationship. Really think about it. Would they do that if that person was involved in a homosexual relationship? You got to look at it. Is that a sin? The same as all sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think you really got to look
at. Yeah, beware of, you know, even if like doesn't seem to mean that much. You know, like has a meaning. And other people may look at that and say, you know, it may be a stumbling block. Anything we post may be a stumbling block. And that's what we, not only for ourselves, but also for others, we need to be sensitive to how others are going to perceive what we do. And that's true in the real world. It's true in the cyber world, too. And so that's all reason we did this tonight was to make us aware of some of the dangers and make us more sensitive to what we are doing. And are we really honoring the Lord in everything we do? Everything you post, is your desire to honor the Lord? And we sang, what was the last song we sang? Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty. I mean, that's what we're here for, to bring praise to Him. If we're praising ourselves, we're not praising Him. We're not making Him look good. We're trying to make ourselves look good. And we're not good in comparison. That's why we need to be washed in the blood, like that song we sang tonight. Are you washed in the blood? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then follow Him. So, let's pray. Father, we